Hello everyone, Anna here. Welcome to my week 4 update. Yeah, 4 weeks. 1 month has already gone past actually with this little babe. So there she is waking up on my tummy. Yeah, let's start. Before I do though, I want to acknowledge the Awabakal people as the traditional custodians of the land. Where I am right now, where I raise my family and live and work, and acknowledge all First Nations people who might be listening and pay respect to elders past, present and emerging as well. And I think things are settling down a bit here. We're finding a groove and we're just starting to click over into that time where all her sounds aren't just meaningless to us. We can read her a bit better, starting to know, you know, what 2 things to try when she's upset, not 2, maybe what 4 things that we can do instead of trying 20 different things and seeing what might work at the time. There was a time yesterday where my partner had her and she was a bit upset and he said, "I think she's just tired." And I said, "Yeah, I do too." And yeah, both of us had kind of read her in the same way, and it was only a few minutes after that that she did fall asleep and I didn't need to take her back and boob her. He could help her to sleep. So that was fabulous. We've had 2 good nights sleep in a row where she's just woken up to feed and gone back to sleep again instead of staying awake for an hour each time, or those being really close together, which is great because we've had not COVID but some other like flu-y cold kind of situation for about a week and a half. And I've been sitting upright with her every night, basically. I think we've had kind of 2 hours each night for the last couple that we've been able to lie flat. Otherwise, I've been reclined against a stack of pillows with her on my chest. And I was thinking about this, how it really drives home to me that everyone should have the knowledge and the information about how to co-sleep safely, because there will be a time that you end up doing it even if you don't plan to. So I think the statistic is that 80% of families end up co-sleeping in baby's first year, whether they intend to or not. And that might be because baby's sick, because your child comes in with you from 4 a.m. onwards, or because you're choosing to co-sleep full time. But I think it's really important to know, because if I didn't have sort of the background and the preparation that I have now, knowing how to do things on a safe shared sleep surface and awareness of blankets and sleep safety and all of that kind of thing, I might have spent the last week on a recliner with her. And there are times where I've woken up and she's sort of just sliding down into a position that, had we been on a recliner, she would have been stuck between the arm of the chair and my body, and it could have been a really bad outcome. But because of how we were set up on the bed, her airways were clear and we were completely safe and I could just adjust us again. So, yeah, if you want to hear about co-sleeping and perhaps why that information is withheld from parents as well, or how we got to this point where that knowledge is kind of lost and everybody's just blankets hold, baby must sleep in their own surface on their back. Yes, baby. Head back to season 4 and listen to the episode with Carly Grubb. It's called "Why Haven't We Moved Beyond Sleep Training Yet?" And it's a really fascinating look at the history, but also the current practice and what's being done to shift it around sleep information through more institutional and formal channels. Okay, well, that was a bit of a sidetrack. What else is happening? We had, I think my postpartum hair loss is starting. Whenever I wash my hair, there's a ton of it, and I keep finding bits wrapped around her fingers, which we need to kind of take off. I remember hearing that if baby is distressed, you know, check normal things, hungry or nappy, an obvious source of pain, but particularly check around fingers, toes, and if your baby has a penis as well, around the penis to see if there has been any hairs or threads caught around it, like a tourniquet that's cutting off circulation. Because I'm picking out a lot of hair from my baby's fingers, I can easily see how these things could happen and could become, you know, dangerous to that tissue being cut off. So, yeah, postpartum hair loss is happening. We managed a few things this week that kind of feel like things are getting back to normal in a way. Not back to normal, it's a completely new normal because we've never been a family of four and I've never had two kids before. But, yeah, just finding new ways to do things that feel a bit more natural instead of just like, oh, what are we doing? So I was able to take my big girl to kindy and drop her off this morning, not this morning, this week, while I also had the baby with me, which was a first for us. I took my big girl to an activity at our local library as well. So we were gone for maybe 2-2.5 hours while my partner had the baby, and I left a bottle of expressed milk. I know that's not necessarily recommended for everyone to do. For me, who's prone to oversupply, that's not really a drama if you were really trying to match up what you were doing or concerned about bottle preference or anything like that. You might not want to do it, but for us it was okay. And she took the bottle, which is wonderful. Some babies just don't. And yeah, they were fine, and it was nice to have a bit of one-on-one time doing something special but also kind of part of our old normal routine with my daughter. That was great. Just a side note though, that like there's no way that I would have been able to leave my first for that long at that age. I don't think I'd left her for that length of time until she was at least 4, maybe 6 months old. So if you don't want to or feel like you can't leave your little babe, there's no need to. Just you do you. There are a few things that previously my big girl and her dad or grandparents would have gone to alone that I feel able to go to now with the baby. Now that we've got feeding a bit more sorted, I can sort of sit upright and prop her on my knee and feed her. So we're both of our bodies are vertical rather than always being reclined. And I can unlatch her because I have a very fierce letdown. She sort of sucks and then the letdown comes and I can unlatch her for a bit, run all that milk into a towel and then put her back on again, and both of us don't get completely saturated and she doesn't get choked. So we've kind of got that down pat now, which means that I can do more stuff out with her and feel comfortable. So we managed to go to Christmas carols over the weekend, and hopefully we have a couple more nice things planned this week as well. What else do I want to tell you about? Physically, I am getting there as well. Still bleeding a little bit, just to be expected. Bleeding goes 4 to 6 weeks postpartum. It was a very hot day yesterday. I would have liked to swim. I think I say this every week, but that's okay. I'll wait a little bit more. I think in a way it's probably been good because it's one of the few things that's kind of reminding me that this is actually so fresh. It feels like baby's just always been part of our family. It wasn't too long in between finishing feeding my older daughter and starting feeding the baby, so it feels like breastfeeding's just, you know, it's just what I do. But I do have to remember as well that it can be quite a strain on my body, tiring in terms of cluster feeding, but also just general risk of depletion. I have various food intolerances and things that means my diet can be quite restricted, and I have to be careful about making sure that I'm getting all the nutrients that I need. And the other thing that's sort of reminding me that it is still fresh is the encapsulated placenta pills or tablets. They sort of last through that fourth trimester period, and I feel like if I didn't have the routine of seeing them each day, I'd kind of be like, oh well, you know, we've been doing this forever. But yeah, it is only a month since I gave birth, and being pregnant feels like a really long time ago, which is probably a natural thing. You get to you know, what is it, like, they reckon the hormones make you forget the bad parts so that you are more likely to forget the bad parts of pregnancy so that you're more willing to do it again and continue the species. Which, yeah, I can totally see that, totally see that. I wrote out my birth story this week. If you want to read it, there's a birth story, story highlight on Instagram. It turned out to be very long, but I wanted to get it down, and I, while it was still sort of fresh, and I wanted to process it a bit because I'm going on a birth story podcast this week, Positive Birth Australia, to talk about both of my births, and I wanted to piece it all together a bit more so that I could convey my experience properly. I had an appointment with my osteopath this week, which was excellent. She is a mother of three who loves birth and babies, so that helps. We get along very well. But yeah, it gave me a tune-up. Obviously, there's some adjustment to do around my shoulders and neck and arms, holding a baby, feeding a baby a lot, and my kind of upper back, thoracic area, which is, you know, a really common area for mums to have things a little bit out of alignment or tighter in some areas and weaker in others. So that got fixed up, but the main thing that I was looking for was I had some soreness around my tailbone, and she checked me out and was able to identify that my sacrum, which is sort of that fused at the bottom of your spine, there's a group of fused bones at the bottom that end in your tailbone and forms the back of your of the pelvic cavity. And yeah, so my tailbone, instead of being tipped kind of in underneath my body, it was sticking out the other way a bit towards the back, which can happen, obviously. That whole bone sort of tilts that way and lifts up and out of the way for baby to come through, which is fascinating. If you want to have a look, go and have a look for rhombus of Michaelis. And, yeah, you can actually see the lump or protrusion when the sacrum is lifting up and out of the way for the baby to journey through the birth canal. It's amazing. Anyway, so she just needed to fix me up, and then my tailbone is sitting back the other direction, and now it's much more comfortable to be sitting, particularly in this reclined position that we're assuming a lot of the time. So that feels great. Body work's just so important, whether it's like massage or chiro or osteo, whatever your preference is. Yeah, body work in postpartum is really essential, and it's essential across so many cultures as well. You know, in traditional Indian postpartum care, it's an essential that the postpartum mother has a warm oil massage every day for the first 40 days postpartum. Like, give me some of that. Mentally, I did notice that while we were sick and I wasn't getting enough sleep, like, we are still a little bit sick, but when it was worse, that I had some negative self-talk creep in a little bit. There was a time where I was walking and carrying something, a bag or a baby or whatever. A sneeze stuck up on me and a little bit of wee leaked, and I had this really nasty mental voice in my head, like, why haven't you got this under control by now? It's like, well, probably because a massive baby just came out of your body not very long ago, and you're not even up to 6 weeks yet to see the pelvic floor physio, let alone have everything working optimally. So yes, have been doing my couple of exercises. Most days, I also went for a walk this week for the first time. When I say a walk, it was probably like 15 minutes on 2 days of the week with the pram, but it's a start. And up until now, I just haven't really felt like it. Felt like just resting and cocooning, but it felt really nice to get out and do that just for a little bit. And hopefully I'll get the opportunity to do that as much as feels good. Oh, snorty baby. Yeah. I have been teary a few times this week as well. One time, some of the times are kind of just, you know, feeling overwhelmed, both kids crying at the same time. Usually the older kid is crying because the baby is crying and it's too loud and it just escalates on top of each other. And, you know, it's very trying because she's big enough to sometimes go and play in a different room. And I think, why can't you just go there instead of standing next to me and screaming? But she's overwhelmed and she needs to be close to me, and I'm dysregulated. And so, yes, trying to be kind with myself and her in that situation. There have still been some bits where I felt like I'm either missing out or letting someone down in a way. So my husband graduated from uni this week. It's his second degree that he's been working on part-time while parenting and working full-time for like the last 10 years. And I really wanted to go. He was there for mine, but it was, you know, a full day's drive away from us. And with two kids, we just couldn't figure out how to do it. And I would have had at least the baby through the ceremony as well. And it just would have been an absolute bum fight. So I was sitting on my couch in my PJs watching the live stream instead, which it was nice that I got to see it, but I did feel a little bit crummy. It also meant that he had a night away. My parents came and helped out here. One of them, my mum actually sleeps in with my big girl when they have a night together, which is lovely. And that only started, I think she had her first ever sleepover there a week before the baby was born. She just decided she was ready, and it all just flowed. Not so much for my mum, because my girl's pretty wriggly at night time, but apparently this week was good because I just can't, I can't have both of them together yet and it go well. So yeah, single mums, especially single mum with baby, hats off to you. How you do daytimes, I don't know, but overnights, I don't know, even more. Support, I hope, is the answer, but I realise for many people it's not. It's just hard. I also had some tear ups for the positive reason, like hard bursting kind of reasons as well. So standing in my kitchen at night, all the lights off, rocking sleeping baby upright because, you know, couldn't breathe lying down. And I was watching out my kitchen window, and big girl and her dad were playing with sparklers outside, and it was just lighting up her little round face, and all her body's lengthening out, and she's growing so tall, long limbs, stretched out, more thin kind of body, and but her face still has that beautiful roundness, and it was getting caught in the warm light of the sparklers, and it was just lovely. Other times where we've been sitting on the couch and she's been going through just playing games of the people in her family that she loves, and she'll say the baby's name and kiss the baby, and yeah, she is for the most part coping so well. And although I said about the crying setting her off, the crying actually hasn't been as much of an issue this week. It's getting better. She even coped really well when baby was upset in the car yesterday, which yeah, surprised me. And the biggest source of issue for her this week was when her dad wrapped some Christmas presents and put them under the tree and told her that she couldn't open them until Christmas, and that's still 2 weeks away. And he looked at me and said, joked something like, it'll be character building. Anyway, the meltdown lasted for a long time, and then there was another one not long after that, and all her Christmas presents have gone back in the cupboard where she can't see them. So that was entertaining for me. All right, well, now I'm rambling about Christmas presents, so hopefully that means that I've remembered everything that I wanted to tell you. Yeah, might drop to every 2 weeks because, yeah, not much is happening. And go easy on yourself over this festive time. Sometimes there can be a lot of invitations, and don't feel that you have to go to any of them. One of my favourite Christmases, I slept through Christmas lunch with my baby because that was our nap time and we were having rubbish sleeps at night. She was 8 months, and most people who have had an 8-month-old baby know that that period of time is rubbish for night sleep. So we took our day nap in the middle of major Christmas lunch with like 40 people there. So do what you got to do. See you later. Actually, if you have a second to spare, I would love it if you could leave me a rating and a review on whichever podcast app you're using. And yeah, check out the show notes for any links that you might like to my book, my socials, and send in any questions you have for me as well. Very happy to answer them. Catch you soon.